I'm going to be using scriptures from many parts of the Bible. You can start with by turning to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I believe today's message is extremely important, and I'm asking the Lord to give me help in delivering it. Years ago, Johnny Lee sang a hit country song entitled "Looking for Love in All the Wrong Places." Many of you, I'm sure, know that song. Looking for love in all the wrong places. Well, today, there are a whole lot of people, including Christians, who are looking for hope in all the wrong places. They're looking for hope in all the wrong places. Many people refuse to believe that President Trump is pushing these egregious gun control measures. But he is. But they don't want to believe it. They want to believe the rhetoric of the campaign. They want to believe that they voted for a man that was better than Hillary Clinton. They want to believe that Donald Trump is going to truly make America great again. They want to believe that we can trust him to protect our constitutional liberties, including our Second Amendment liberties. They want to believe that he and his fellow Republicans would not assault the constitutional liberties of our country. They have placed their hope in Donald Trump. They haven't just elected a politician or a president, however you want to say it. They have put their hope in this man. They've put their hope in that Republican Congress and Republican Senate. They've put their hope in these political figures. That's why whenever the truth and the reality of what they are doing in attacking our liberties, they find it almost impossible to accept. They can't accept that Donald Trump would say, confiscate guns first and then go through due process later. They can't believe that he would propose banning high-capacity magazines and extending background checks to include mental health regulations, which could be interpreted in almost any way, in which guns would be seized first, and then you'd have to prove that you're sane enough to get your guns back. They can't believe that he would support a bill that Barack Obama proposed back in 2013 after Sandy Hook shootings that would ban private gun sales and gun show sales of a private nature. They can't believe that he would tell a bunch of Republican donors just yesterday, Saturday, when responding to what China is doing and the president of China, Xing, whatever his last name is, Ping Pong Hao, says, we're going to make the presidency of China a permanent position, and the communist leadership of China is right now going through the process of doing that, eliminating term limits for the president of China. So in a few months, President Xi, what, I don't know his pronounce his last name, is he's going to be a Mao Zedong type ruler. They're going to revert back to the Mao Zedong era in communist China, where that they will have a permanent dictator in place and will not have to go through elections and so forth. And Donald Trump yesterday, Saturday, March the, what was it?
Third.
Said, oh yeah, the president of China, President Xi, is a great man, as a quote. And President Trump said, he's doing a great thing by making his presidency permanent. He's doing a great thing. And then he said, maybe here in America, we'll do that one day. We'll have a permanent president one day here in America. Donald Trump said that. But when you tell your friends who voted for Donald Trump that he said that, they will dismiss it. Oh, he didn't mean that. Well, he sure is saying a lot of things he doesn't mean then. And the things he says as President of the United States carries not just words, but policy and action. And congressmen and senators act upon the words of a President of the United States. Oh, but they don't want to believe that. Or they will dismiss it as frivolous. Why? Why would they do that? What would be their reaction if Barack Obama said, confiscate guns first and go through due process second? What would conservatives and Christians do if Barack Obama had said that same exact thing? They would be up in arms. It would be all over social media. Alex Jones would be blaring it from the top of his voice. All of these radio talk show hosts and television, Fox News would be talking about how you can't believe that Barack Obama said confiscate guns first and then go through due process. But that's exactly what Donald Trump said, and hardly anyone, even the NRA, is saying anything about it. What if Barack Obama said, oh, it's a great thing that China is going to make a permanent presidency, a president for life. Maybe we ought to do that here in America. What would conservatives say if Barack Obama had said that? Talk shows, radio shows, they all would be screaming. But Trump says it. Oh, he didn't mean it. Why? Why? Why the disparity of reaction? Why do conservatives and constitutionalists and Christians, why do they get so exercised when Democrats do something or say something contrary to our Constitution, but when Republicans do it or say it, they yawn and dismiss it? Why? What difference does it make if he has an R behind his name or a D behind his name or her name? What difference does it make what party they are from? Every elected civil magistrate has one duty, and that is to support, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States of America. What difference does it make if his name is Barack Obama or Donald Trump? What difference does it make if he's a R or a D? I tell you the difference it makes. Somehow over the years, Christians, conservatives, so-called constitutionalists have come to put their hope and trust in the Republican Party.
Right.
It's more than just electing a candidate who's better than another candidate. Nothing wrong with that. We should all vote for the better candidate. However, I've made up my mind personally years ago that I would never vote for a lesser of two evils. If, as far as I'm concerned, if I think the Republican candidate or Democrat is bad as the other, or at least bad enough in certain areas of importance, then I won't vote for either one of them. But I understand. I understand people who want to put a better candidate in office. I get that. Nothing wrong with that. But that's not what we're talking about. We're not simply talking about going to the polls and voting for somebody that you think is better than the other person, and you have good feelings about the person you're voting for based on what they said on the campaign trail, et cetera, et cetera. You like their platform, you like their promises, and so forth. And so you, and the other person, you have in your mind already rejected because they've proven that they're not trustworthy and whatever. So you go vote for this other candidate. That's fine. That's wonderful. But there's a big difference between going to a voting booth and voting for somebody and then relinquishing to them your hope and trust for the future. But that's what we do. That's what Christians have done. That's what conservatives have done. Their hope for the future rests with Donald Trump. It rests with the Republicans in Congress. Therefore, when they prove themselves on a given subject, whatever it is, to be unconstitutional and untrustworthy, they refuse to hold them to account because, in their mind, their hope for the future rests with them. And if I say something negative about this person, and if I get friends to think negatively about this person, well, then maybe they won't vote for that person in the next election. Let me tell you, anybody, Republican or Democrat, that gets up and promotes an assault against the Second Amendment doesn't deserve to be reelected. But their hope lies with that person in the White House. They'll go to church on Sunday and they'll talk about trusting the Lord. And they'll talk about trusting God. It's a facade. And God knows it's a facade. They're not trusting the Lord. They're trusting Donald Trump. They're trusting the Republican majority in Congress. They're looking for hope in all the wrong places. 1 Corinthians 13:13. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. The greatest of these is charity or love. Faith, hope, and love. Everybody needs those three things to live. Everybody needs faith. Everybody needs hope. And everybody needs love. Find someone who has given up faith and given up hope and given up love, and that is a fella or woman who has lost all reason for living. It doesn't matter the size of your house or your bank account. If you don't have faith, hope, and love, you are a miserable human being. Faith, hope, and love cannot be bought with money and wealth and material gain. Faith, hope, and love comes from within. And the Apostle Paul recognizes the importance of those three attributes in our lives. There abideth these three: faith, hope, and love. Everybody has to have hope. So people think, well, wow, if Donald Trump isn't going to come through for us, if Donald Trump isn't going to be the political savior of the country, then we have no hope. We have no hope. If the Republicans in Congress don't stand up for the Constitution and do what's right, then we have no hope. And they are literally crushed in their spirit. They are left hopeless. To think that maybe Donald Trump might do something unconstitutional. I'm serious. They lose hope. That's why they refuse to deal with truth. That's why they refuse to deal with the issue. That's why they excuse Donald Trump for everything he does or says. Because in their heart, if they accept the reality of the situation, they will lose hope. Because they put their hope in this man. They're abiding in faith, hope, and love. Psalm 71, verse 14, David said, I will hope continually. Everybody needs hope. Everybody needs hope. The storm clouds of oppression have been building over this country for decades. People see it. People feel it. They sense it. They know in their hearts, if they have any awareness of liberty whatsoever, they know that the clouds have been forming over the country. They've watched the people that my age and above can look back and remember what the country was like 50 years ago. And we see what it's like today. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you that today, the United States today does not even remotely resemble the America 50 years ago that I knew. And so they recognize it. And they're looking for hope. And they've been disappointed before. From this candidate and that candidate and this person and that person. This promise and that promise. So somebody comes along that's different. Somebody comes along that's from outside the mainstream. Somebody comes along who is independent. And he says what they want to hear. And they put their hope and trust for the future in this man. That's why it's so hard for them to recognize the truth. Because if they recognize the truth, they would have to admit that this man has deceived us. That he has said things he doesn't mean. That he's doing things that are unconstitutional. We don't want to admit that. Because we have hope in him. David said, I will hope continually. Everybody wants hope. Psalm 119, 114, David said this, Thou, Lord, art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word. Ladies and gentlemen, our hope has never rested in any president, congressman, senator, or governor. Our hope has always been in the Lord God. Our hope has always been in the principles of His Word. I hope, he said, in thy word. Here is our hope, right here. Here's our hope. Jeremiah 17:7. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, whose hope the Lord is. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. Our hope has always been in Christ. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. The Lord is our hope. The author of this book is our hope. In Him we are supposed to trust. 1 Peter 1:21. Who by Him do believe in God and raised Him from the dead and gave Him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. That your faith and hope might be in God. Not Donald Trump. Not Barack Obama. Not Mitch McConnell. Not Dianne Feinstein. In the Lord God. A lot of people watching, maybe some of you in the audience, you say, well, Chuck, of course. Of course we trust the Lord. Of course we trust the Bible. No, you don't. You're trusting politicians. You're trusting political parties. You've put your trust in people on a political level, and you are depending on them to raise America up. You're depending on him, Donald Trump, to make America great again. Let me tell you, there is no one man that can make America great again. America is great because America is good. And when America ceases to be good, it will cease to be great. America is great or not dependent upon the people of this country who stand for the principles that made it great to begin with. Has nothing to do with jobs. Has nothing to do with the economy. Has nothing to do with the stock market. Has nothing to do with trade. Has nothing to do with all these economic material considerations. That's not what makes America great. It has nothing to do with Air Force and Navy ships and cruise missiles and drones and aircraft carriers and intimidating military. That's not it. Empires of history have had all of that. Empires of history have had all of that. Great economies, great militaries, great conquests, great riches, great power. They've had all of that. And they have collapsed into the dustbin of history under the judgment of Almighty God. No. If you really trust the Lord, listen to these verses. Psalm 118, verses 8 and 9. You might want to write some of these down, folks, or get this message afterwards. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes, kings, politicians, political leaders. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. If you are trusting the Lord, your confidence is with him, not with a political leader. You cannot have your hope in God and your hope in Donald Trump at the same time. Your hope will be in one or the other. Psalm 146, verse 3. Put not your trust in princes, nor in the son of man, in whom there is no help, meaning the son of Adam or the son of the human race. Put not your trust in princes, kings, civil leaders. That is a command. Listen to what John Gill says about that verse. David did not desire his people to put their trust in him, nor in his nobles and courtiers, but in the Lord Christ, who, as he is the object of praise, is also the object of trust. Princes, though ever so liberal and bountiful, or ever so mighty and powerful, wise and prudent, yet are not to be depended on. They are changeable, fickle, and inconstant, and oftentimes not faithful to their word. No. You're kidding. Not faithful to the word, but fallacious and deceitful. Wherefore, it is better to trust in the Lord Jehovah, in whom is everlasting strength, who gives all things richly to enjoy, who is unchangeable and ever abides faithful. I've had a lot of people attack my positions when I am critical of the unconstitutional actions or words of especially Republican office holders, not the least of which is Donald Trump. And they say, well, it's easy for you to say, you've never been there. If you were there, you wouldn't do the same. You'd do the same thing, mama. I remember when I was running for president in 2008, and all over America, I told the audiences, if I'm elected president of the United States, I would say to them, do not trust Chuck Baldwin beyond what you see Chuck Baldwin do. If I, as President of the United States, deviate from my oath to the Constitution and I support anything that would be unconstitutional, or not support that which would be constitutional, I would expect you to not support me at that moment. And I meant it. And anybody who's honest about their oath of office would say the same thing. Like the local elected official here in the Flathead Valley a couple years ago that we're sitting over the lunch table, and I asked him, I said, to what did you swear an oath to whenever you were elected? Got to give him credit for honesty. He looked at me with this really puzzled look on his face. This is a bright, educated man. And he said, quote, I don't remember. I said, didn't you swear an oath to preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States? Oh, yeah! And I told him, I said, well, unfortunately, you're not the only one that's forgotten your oath to the Constitution. When we elect a civil magistrate, our vote for him or her is a civil contract. It is a civil contract. When we vote for this individual, we say, our part of the contract is we're saying, we are sending you to this office to preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution. That's why we're sending you. See, this is the big part of the problem. When people go vote today, that's not what's on their mind. The Constitution is not what's on their mind. You know what's on their mind? Their pocketbook. That's what's on their mind. They're voting for money, tax benefits, or in some cases, direct assistance. Do you know that half of the American people today are living off of the public dole in one way or the other? Half. Half. That means every one of us, if we're not on the public dole in one way or the other, it means we are supporting one other complete person. We're paying their bills, paying for their housing, their insurance, their medical treatment, maybe their paycheck. Each one of us not on the public dole are paying for another whole person with our taxes. Half of the people. Can you imagine? When you have that many people that are receiving financial benefit from whoever they are that's in Congress or the Senate or the State House or whatever, you mark it down when they go to the election booth. They're not thinking about the Constitution. They're thinking about their own financial welfare because their financial welfare is directly connected to those buzzards who are in public office. In many ways, many people in the United States, regardless of race, are just as enslaved as slaves ever were. They're enslaved. They are dependent upon the state for their very being and sustenance. That's servitude. So that's the first problem we have, is that people that go to the election booth, they're not thinking about the Constitution. But regardless of whether they're thinking about it or not, it doesn't negate the reality of the situation. When we go vote, we are signing a contract with that potential civil magistrate. We are saying we are expecting you to uphold the Constitution. And when they take the oath of office, they swear to us and to God that they will uphold the Constitution. It is a contract between the voter and the civil magistrate. When I need a plumber to fix my toilet, I hire him to do one thing. Get the water flowing again. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Get the water flowing again. I really don't care what his religion is. I don't care if he comes in the house and says, I'm so glad that you had me come and fix your pipes because I am a good, dedicated Christian. I don't really care if he's a good, dedicated Christian. I don't care if he's a liberal or a conservative. I don't care if he's white or black. I don't care if he is a Democrat or a Republican. I just want him to get the water flowing. And we signed a contract. I'm going to pay him this amount of dollars, and when he walks out and gets my check, he's going to have my water flowing again. That's it. That's the contract. And if he doesn't get the water flowing, he's not getting my check. Is this hard to figure out? We have a contract. You are giving me your word, you will do this, and I am giving you my word, I will do this. That's what happens when you go to the voting booth and elect a civil magistrate. You've signed a contract. I am contracting you, no matter who it is, Democrat or Republican, conservative or liberal, white or black. I am contracting with you to defend and support the Constitution of the United States. And they are promising me they will do that. That's a contract. And ladies and gentlemen, when our civil magistrates go to whatever office it is that they're holding and they refuse to uphold the Constitution of the United States, listen to me, I don't care who they are, I don't care what they've said, I don't care whether they're Christian or not, I don't care what their ideology, what their rhetoric, they have violated their contract with we, the people of the United States. Amen. It's not a matter of trust. It's not a matter of, oh, we elected Donald Trump, and now we just have all the faith in the world that America is going to be great again. We have all the hope in the world that he's going to do everything that he said he was going to do. We just have all of the faith that he's a good man. We have all the hope in the world. And your hope is in all the wrong places. Better to trust in the Lord than put confidence in man. You can't do both at the same time. Put not your trust in princes. Jeremiah chapter 7 and verse 4. Trust ye not in lying words, saying, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. The Old Testament Jews, they would listen to the lying prophets who would tell them that their success and their future and their hope is in the temple. The temple. The temple of God is your hope. The temple of God is your trust. The temple of God is your future. The temple of these lying false prophets. The temple, the temple, the temple, the temple. The temple of God was never the hope for Israel. The God of the temple was the hope of Israel. But the lying prophets, they put the emphasis on the temple. They put the emphasis on the object. Instead of the God of the temple, they focused on the temple. It's like right now, there's this huge effort worldwide to build the third Jewish temple. They got a half shekel silver coin that the Sanhedrin in Jerusalem has minted with the image of Donald Trump and King Cyrus on the coin. And Christians by the millions are buying these coins, these shekels, and on the backside of the coin is a picture of the Jewish temple in order to help the Zionists build a temple for the Antichrist, which is what it would be. Trust ye not in lying words. The temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. That's what Jeremiah said. Jeremiah 7, 8, behold, ye trust in lying words that cannot profit. Jeremiah 28, verse 15. Then said Jeremiah the prophet unto Hananiah the prophet, "Hear now, Hananiah, the Lord hath not sent thee, but thou makest this people to trust in a lie." All of the above is why Thomas Jefferson said, "In questions of power, political power, let no more be heard of confidence in man, but bind him down from mischief by the chains of the Constitution." Don't listen to what he's saying. Make sure what he does is held to conformity to the Constitution. Psalm 91:4. "He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust." His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. And from this point on, I want you to pay attention. Don't worry about any noise you hear around the hotel. Please focus. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Looking for hope in all the wrong places. People are trusting politicians. They're hoping in politicians. They are trusting political parties. They are hoping in political parties. They're looking for hope in all the wrong places. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. His truth is your defense. His truth is your protection. I want you to turn to this one. Jeremiah chapter 5. Jeremiah chapter 5. And I'm going to read the first three verses. Jeremiah chapter 5. "Run ye to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem, and see now, and know, and seek in the broad places thereof, if ye can find a man, if there be any that executeth judgment, that seeketh the," what?
Truth.
What?
Truth.
Truth. "Run through the streets of the city. Find a man who seeks the truth, and I will pardon the city," Jerusalem. What protected Jerusalem? The king? The king's army? The priests? What protected the city? The truth. The truth protected Jerusalem. "And though they say, 'The Lord liveth,' surely they swear falsely." Oh, we trust in the Lord. They are swearing falsely. They're not trusting in the Lord. If they trusted in the Lord, they would seek truth. But because they're not seeking truth, they are proving that they are not trusting the Lord. Trusting the Lord is not going to church on Sunday, raising your hands in a 45 or 50 minute song service and talking about trusting the Lord and getting up and emotionally and glibly talking about how much you love the Lord and how much you trust the Lord. And then you go home and for the next 6 days, you put your faith and your trust and everything for the future of our country in the hands of a politician. That's not trusting the Lord. If you trusted the Lord, you'd go out of that worship place on Sunday and the rest of the week, you would be seeking truth and you would be demanding truth and you would be standing for truth. If you did that, that would prove the veracity of your testimony that you love and trust the Lord. That's exactly what Jeremiah's saying here. Oh, you Jews, you get up and you talk about the Lord liveth and we're trusting the Lord and the Lord is our God and blah, 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 blah. But you don't care a thing about the truth. And so your testimony is a lie. Oh, Lord, are not thine eyes open? Are not thine eyes upon the truth? Thou hast stricken them, the people of the city, but they have not grieved. Thou hast consumed them, but they have refused to receive correction. They have made their faces harder than a rock. They have refused to return. To return to what, folks? To return to what? The truth. No matter what I have done for them and to them, no matter what judgment I brought upon them, no matter how I've stricken them, they've not grieved. They've not received correction. I say, America as a whole has not received correction from God. What does he have to do? Look at the things that are plaguing our country today. Do you see people more interested in truth today than they were before all these mass shootings started some years back? Do you see people today more interested in truth than they were before all of these things began to collapse upon our country and bring us into a state of perpetual war, a state of on the precipice of global war? I mean, that's another subject. Nobody's going to pay any attention until a nuclear bomb lands in New York City or someplace. Then, how did that happen? We're closer to nuclear war than we've ever been ever. The Cold War in the 1950s was nothing compared to this. Everyone's expecting a major war. Everyone. Everybody's building their nuclear armaments around the world. Russia has put all kinds of time and effort, money into upgrading their nuclear arsenal. They are now boasting, and you never know if these things are true or not, but they are now boasting that their ICBMs are the most technologically advanced of any ICBMs in the world, including those of the United States. Countries that hadn't touched any interest in the nuclear weaponry are now gearing up heart and soul in that capability. Everybody's expecting a global nuclear war. Everybody except the people of the United States of America. Switzerland has put in place the most comprehensive civil defense system in the world. They say that they are able now to protect almost every Swiss citizen in case of a nuclear holocaust. Russia is preparing a massive civil defense system for the people of Russia. And they are saying that they are going to be able to protect the vast majority of the people, the citizens of Russia, in the event of a nuclear war. What is America doing? Nothing. What are the people of America talking about? Nothing, except how wonderful Donald Trump is. And about how we can trust him and depend on him. They're looking for hope in all the wrong places, folks. Truth protects the city. Truth protects the nation. People that forsake truth are forsaken by God. People who are forsaken by God are rejected by God. And people who are rejected by God are vulnerable to whatever the consequence might be at the time. We've not received correction. Try to talk to your friends about these serious matters, of which I've just skimmed over a few today. Talk to your friends about these serious matters and what will be their response. They will defriend you from Facebook. Right? Or they will say, oh, you're just exaggerating. It's not that bad. Or they will just give you the big silent treatment and they won't say anything. They won't receive correction. They don't want to hear the truth. A willful rejection of truth. Jeremiah chapter 9 and verse 3. Turn to that one. You're real close. Jeremiah chapter 9 and verse 3. And they bend their tongues like a bow for lies. Boy, they'll contort themselves to believe a lie. They'll go to any extreme to believe a lie. But they are not valiant for truth upon the earth. I love that language. They are not valiant for truth. You and I, as God's people, should be valiant for truth. Not valiant for a political party. Not valiant for a politician. Valiant for truth. When the politician squares his actions and decisions with truth, we applaud him. But when he or she does not square his actions or her actions with truth, we do not excuse them. We do not make apology for them. We hold their feet to the constitutional fire of this country. They are not valiant for truth, but they proceed from evil to evil, and they know not me, saith the Lord. If you're not interested in truth, you're not interested in God. If you're not interested in truth, you're not a disciple of God. If you're not interested in truth, don't pretend that you love God, because you do not. John Gill writes this about chapter 9 and verse 3. They are not valiant for truth. A man should do everything for truth and nothing against it, and which he should earnestly contend for, and not part with or give up at any rate, nor only for the truth of doctrine, for faith and truth of the gospel as it is in Christ. Listen, but for truth between man and man, for veracity, rightness, and integrity. For they proceed from evil to evil, from one sin to another, growing worse and worse as wicked men and deceivers usually do. In other words, yeah, we pursue truth and we love truth and seek truth when it comes to our faith in God and the doctrine of Christ and the gospel and all of that. People, that's what they'll say. Oh yeah, I'm passionate for truth of the gospel. I'm passionate for the truth of the word of God. but also for truth between men and men, for veracity, rightness, integrity, truth between men and men. That means fulfilling your contracts. If you say you're going to do work for somebody for such amount of money, then you do the work. If you say you're going to pay somebody for such amount of work, then you pay the money. Be honest with your fellow man in contract and in duty and in obligation. That's all a part of being a truth seeker. All right, let's go to the New Testament. I'm going to try to wrap this up. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Very important scriptures. Verse 10. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the what?
Truth.
That they might be saved. And for this cause, what cause? The cause is they did not receive the love of the truth. For this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. I submit to you that God has sent a strong delusion on the American people today. They're believing a lie, and the reason they're believing a lie is because they refused to believe the truth first. If you don't believe the truth, a lie will come in to take its place. God will send them strong delusion that they'll believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. Do you see how important the truth is, folks? Do you see the protection that truth affords us? Truth protects us. Truth is our hope. Truth is our trust. We should be fanatically faithful and loyal to truth. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 4. Just a couple books further. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. People are believing fables today. And false prophets are teaching fables from the pulpits of America today, and they're believing it. Because they've rejected the truth and they're believing fables. Jesus said in John 8:32, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you, say it,
free.
You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You know what will make America great again? Not Donald Trump and not the Republicans in Congress. The thing that will make America great again is the truth. Amen. The truth is what we should be trusting in. The truth is where our hope should lie. The truth is what our devotion should be to. In Luke 6:46, Jesus said, and why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things I say? I get creamed on my Facebook page. And I get creamed in my email inbox. And people calling me and writing me. And tearing me to pieces. Because I tell the truth. Because I tell the truth. And they don't want to hear it. Their hope is in Trump. Their hope is in the Republicans in Congress. Don't talk to them about truth. Jesus said, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things I say?" Listen to me. God has given to us His laws, His truths. The truths of natural law are germane and applicable to every person and every country of every generation for all of time. Those natural law principles are as true today as they were when God created the heavens and the earth. Those truths are the truths of creation. The truths of the natural law of God. Those natural laws must be submitted to. They must be obeyed. And if they are not, you are rejecting the Creator who gave us those natural laws. When you reject a man's laws, you are rejecting the man who gave those laws. The natural laws came from God. Thus, to deny those laws is to deny the Creator that gave them to us. Those natural laws must be obeyed. The revealed laws of God are the laws of God in a different form. The written laws of God must be obeyed. To disobey those laws is to invite the judgment of the law giver. The law giver is God. Why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? These Christians by the millions are going to church on Sunday and they're praising the Lord and they're giving all the lip service to the Lord. Lord, Lord, this. And they're singing about the Lord and they're talking about their Lord and they're giving testimony about the Lord. And then they're walking out and not doing anything that He says. They willfully violate His laws, including His natural laws. I'm going to give you one more verse. 1 Timothy 5:8. Please turn. 1 Timothy 5:8. If any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith, the Christian faith, and is worse than an infidel. Listen to what Adam Clark says about this. Is worse than an infidel. Adam Clark. For what are called the dictates of nature, the dictates of nature, lead men to feel for and provide for their own families. Heathen writers are full of maxims of this kind. Albert Barnes writes very similarly. He said, "This was one of the great laws of nature written on their hearts and a law which they felt bound to obey." In other words, you don't have to be a Christian to know it is your duty to provide for your own family. It is a natural law. People that have never heard the gospel of Christ, people in the remotest regions of the earth beyond the scope of the gospel ministry, have in their hearts this written law of their Creator that it is their duty to provide for their own. And they will provide for their own and do. They will fight for their own. They will protect their own. They will defend their own. In the same fashion, the law of nature in the animal kingdom. If you don't believe that a mother grizzly will fight for her own, I challenge you to go up in Glacier Park and just keep walking and walking and walking until you come across some grizzly cubs and see what that grizzly mama will do to protect her babies. She will kill you if she thinks you are threatening her family. Men without Christ have this law written in their hearts from their Creator, this natural law. And if a man, a Christian man, doesn't provide for his own, he's denied the Christian. And he's worse than infidels, because infidels will provide for their own. So those of you who say you're Christians and you're not willing to provide for your own, you've denied the faith and you're worse than a heathen. You're lower than a grizzly bear. You won't even fight for your own. You won't even protect your own. You won't provide for your own. You're worse than a heathen. They listen to the natural law. They obey the natural law. So ought we. Not only must we submit to the revealed laws of God as given us in Holy Writ, we must submit to the laws of nature that are written on our hearts. The law of protection and providing for our own is a fundamental law of nature. Let me tell you something in no uncertain terms. Any assault against our ability to defend our lives and our loved ones is not merely a Second Amendment issue. It is not merely a constitutional issue. It is a divine law of God issue. Yeah. And anyone, Republican or Democrat, conservative or liberal, who assaults that fundamental law of God, and the same thing could be said about many other issues that we're fighting today. These issues of vaccination, where the state is requiring students, you cannot attend school without being vaccinated, or you cannot get a job in the medical industry if you're not vaccinated, or you can't have this position unless you're vaccinated. That is an assault against the sovereignty of the parents of the family. And it's happening all over America. The sovereignty of the home is under assault. And the sovereignty of the ability to protect our homes is under assault. And I'm telling you, these gun control laws that are being proposed by Donald Trump and by Governor Bullock and by Dianne Feinstein and by other Republicans in the House and Senate in Washington, D.C. are a threat and an attack against the fundamental principle of our ability and sovereignty as individuals and men and women and families to protect that which God has given to us and which God requires us to protect. Yeah. I hope that I was able to take you through the scriptures in such a way as to show you the issue here. We cannot afford to place our trust, our confidence in politicians or political parties. We cannot afford to put our hope in politicians and political parties. If we love God, we must trust Him. And if we trust Him, it means we will rely on His truths. We will trust His laws, written and natural. And we will hold ourselves and others accountable to not the whims of politicians, but to the eternal principles of God's Word and God's truth enshrined in His written Word and in His natural law. And if we were doing that as a Christian people nationwide, if we were truly doing this, we wouldn't be in this mess. Because if you're a Democrat, we wouldn't let you assault these principles. And by golly, if you are a Republican, we're not going to let you assault these principles either. Amen. Do you see? I hope I've communicated. I prayed that God would help me to communicate this. Because the people of America have put their hope in the wrong place. They put their trust in the wrong place. We need to repent. The American people, especially the Christians, need to repent. And they need to take that hope and that trust away from any politician or any political party. And they need to put it exactly where it belongs, in the Lord God and in His Word and in His truths and in His laws. Place our faith and our trust and our hope there, and then live and act as if our trust and our faith and our hope was in Him and His laws, and not in these politicians who will lie to us for whatever purpose they may choose. As long as the American people, and the Democrats are in the same boat. A lot of Democrats call themselves, Chris, I'm not laughing because of that. This thought just came to my mind. No, there are Democrats that are Christians, believe it or not. And I'll tell you, this is going to shock you. There are Republicans that are Christians. There really are. But I was laughing because, did you hear what Oprah Winfrey said this week? She's considering running for president. But she's waiting, she's praying and waiting to hear God tell her that she should. So this cuts across party labels, folks. This is not a Republican-Democrat issue. Democrats are just as bad. When a Democrat's in the White House, Barack Obama, Bill Clinton, whoever, when a Democrat's in there, they're just as bad. They will overlook everything they say they believe in to support the Democrat that's in the White House. They do the same thing. The Democrat politicians lie to their constituents just as much as the Republican lie to their constituents. But as long as this Democrat, all the Democrats forgive him, it's okay. You know, Barack Obama promised he was going to end the war in the Middle East, and he was going to close down Gitmo, and he was going to be a peace president and all that stuff. And he dropped more bombs than Bush. He expanded the warfare state more than Bush. And the Democrats all, hey, Barack Obama's our man. He's our man. He's our hope for the future. Right?
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. He lied to them.
Yeah.
They didn't care. He's our guy. Why? He's a Democrat. Same thing on the right. Obama lied to, Trump lied to us. He promised gun owners they had nothing to worry about from Washington, D.C. as long as he was president of the United States. And now he's proposing the most egregious gun control laws in history. He lied to the gun owners of America. He lied to us about having a soft foreign policy and not expanding the wars. He's expanded the wars more than Obama, more than Bush, taking us to the precipice of World War III. Lied to us. And all the Republicans go, it's okay, Trump's our man, he's our guy. Why? Because they're looking for hope in all the wrong places. Let's get back to the source of our hope. Let's get back to truth. Let's get back to the laws of God, written and natural. Those are the things in whom we should trust. And those are the things that will protect us. And those are the things that will make America great again. Let's stand for a word of prayer.